Amen. Well, it is good to see you this morning. You glad to be here?
Yes.
I said, are you glad to be here?
Yes.
Come on now. My wife is not in here. She's in children's church, so I've got a good wife joke for you. So that's up to you whether you tell her or not. It says, for our 10-year anniversary, I bought my wife a map of the world. I wrapped it up in a box and attached a card, and in the box was a dart and a card that said, throw this dart at the map, and anywhere it lands is where I'm taking you. I'd been saving up money for close to 2 years now because we had never gone on a honeymoon, and then I put the dart in my wife's hand, and she was so excited and nervous, she said, I hope it lands on Ireland. So she finally threw the dart. And I'm happy to announce that this October, my wife and I will be spending 2 wonderful weeks beside the baseboard in the kitchen. Praise God. Good wife joke for you there. Amen. Well, we're going to continue on something we started on last Sunday. How many of you know the Bible says that we all have the ministry of reconciliation? That means that we all have a responsibility to be a voice in the world that we live in, to turn others to Christ. Amen. But as we go through this, just see particularly on my heart, you know, 1 John 5:14 says this. It says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, well, what's His will? His will is His word. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, then we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. Isn't that right? So how many of you came this morning with a purpose? You didn't just come to, as Pastor Mark said years ago, he said, don't just come to suck the life out of the pew. Right? You came with a purpose. You came to receive something. So if it's healing you need this morning, then this is the confidence that we have in Him. You receive healing. Right? If it's peace of mind you need this morning, then you don't walk out of here without that peace of mind. If it's victory over a situation that you need, then you trust God and believe God and you walk out of here with your answer. If it's deliverance you need, you walk out of here with your answer. Well, how can we be so confident that we're going to walk out of here? Because we pray according to His word and He hears us. And how many of you know He's already answered that prayer? Isn't that right? Actually, 2 Corinthians 1:20 says the promises of God are yes and amen. So if you pray according to the will of God and you ask according to the will of God, then it's His joy and His pleasure to do it. So don't leave empty-handed. Amen. Leave with what you need. Praise God. But we're going to go a different direction. I just wanted to encourage you in that because, you know, no matter what we're speaking on, what we're sharing, how many of you know you can receive what you need? We could be talking about prosperity and giving and tithing this morning and you can receive a healing in your body. So if that's what you need, then you just walk out with it. You just trust God that His word works for you. Can you do that? Amen. Well, let's do this. Let's go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, I believe we've got something good for you this morning. Again, we're picking up, so this is part two of a message we started last week. And so if you were not here, please go back, catch up. Won't cost you anything. Go back to the website, go back to Facebook, YouTube, whatever you need to do. Amen. Romans chapter 11, verse 29 says, the gifts and the callings of God or without repentance. Now, what does that mean? The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Well, one way that you could think about it is God doesn't change His mind. How many of you know that you truly, each and every one of you as believers, whenever you receive Jesus as Lord of your life, you end up with a calling. Gifts and talents and abilities have been placed in your care, but it all goes back to a calling that He has on each one of us. And so what I want you to understand this morning is that those gifts and those callings, He doesn't change His mind. So if He called you all those many years ago to do something for Him, He hasn't changed His mind. Anything that God gives is forever. Now that applies to anything. Anything that God gives is forever. So if he called you once, that call is still valid. There's no expiration date on it. Come on now. There is no expiration date on it. So if you've ever had a failure, anybody ever had a failure? Anybody ever had a setback? Sure, we all have. If you've ever been separated from God at any point in time, then God wants to restore you. He wants to get you back on that original plan and purpose and his path for your life. But why? Because you have a voice in a lost and dying world. You know, that's what we started talking about, is we all have a testimony because we're all saved, born again. At least you should be. If you're not, we can fix that before the end of the service. But if you're saved, if you're born again, then you have a testimony. If you've ever received healing, then you've got a testimony. If you've ever received victory over any kind of situation, then you have a testimony. That means that you have a voice in this lost and dying world. Listen, this world is full of darkness, and it needs the light. It needs the truth of God's word. And how's that going to come about? It's going to come about from you. Well, how many of you know that we have an enemy? And the enemy would love nothing more than to use that failure, that setback, to sift you, to separate you, and get you out of the will of God for your life. Right? Proverbs 24:16 says, a just man, everybody say, that's me. A just man falls seven times but rises up again. So I encourage you this morning, get up. Get up on your feet. Don't be concerned about where you failed, where you had a setback. Just get back right with God and get moving, because you have a purpose. There's a call of God on your life, and it's important that you be found in your place. Amen? I was thinking about this, and it reminded me of the story of in Luke chapter 22. If you'll turn there, Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, we'll start with verse 31. Of course, you remember this is at the Last Supper. And it says in Luke 22:31, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. There's that word sieve. That word sieve just simply means to separate. You know, my mama, when I was growing up, my mama was a cake baker. She was a baker in general. She didn't have a storefront, but she baked cakes and worked in the community and seems like made cakes for all my friends and all the big events in town. And so she was a baker. Well, I remember when she was making those cakes, you know, she had an old sifter that was probably handed down from years and years. And so she'd pour that flour in that sifter and she'd crank on that thing. I can't remember if it was on top or if she, I think maybe she did like this with it and it had some kind of thing on the bottom. And so, listen, I'm not a baker, all right? I'm just telling you what I saw. So she'd pour that flour down through there, and she'd crank on that thing. It had a little wheel in the bottom. Well, what's it doing? It's sifting that flour. It's getting the rocks out. It's getting the clumps out. And so that you got fine flour in the bottom. Well, you know, the Bible says that Satan has desired to sift us. His desire is to separate you so far from the things of God that you don't know what direction's up. Satan has desire. But I love the second part of that. But it says this. Jesus said, this is the words in red, so that means Jesus talking. Verse 32, but I have prayed for you. How many of you know his prayers are effective? If Jesus prayed for you, Jesus tells Peter, I've prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when you are converted. In other words, when you come back, what does it say? Strengthen the brethren. So he was all but telling him, listen, dude, you're going to miss it. You're going to fall. Let's go on. Verse 33, it says, and he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Oh, we'd all like to say that, wouldn't we? Say, Lord, I'll go to prison and to death for you. And Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, that the cock shall not crow this day before you have three times denied that you even know me. Oh, what a sobering thing to hear. Right? But notice, Jesus said, I prayed for you. But he tells him, he says, but when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. When you come back, in other words, you're going to miss it. You're going to fail. You're going to have a setback. But when you get right back with me, then you have a responsibility, and that is to strengthen the brethren. Do you know we all have that responsibility? To strengthen the brethren. Sure, to get right back where we're supposed to be. The Voice translation says that your faith will hold firm and that you will recover from your failure and become a source of strength for your brethren. The Passion translation says that Jesus said, after you have turned back to me and have been restored, make it your life mission to strengthen the faith of your brethren. Oh, isn't that good? See, he could say that same thing to us today is man, get right back where you're supposed to be and get right back and have that voice. You know, we find in John chapter 21, this is Jesus appearing to the disciples after the crucifixion. In John 21, verse 14, it says, now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined with Jesus, Jesus said to Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? And he said unto him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And he says to him again, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? And he said unto him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, feed my sheep. And he says to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he says unto him, Lord, you know all these things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, then feed my sheep. I don't think it's by chance that Jesus asked him three times, do you love me? How many times did he deny him? Three times. What was Jesus telling Peter? Jesus was telling Peter, you're not out of the family. You're not out of the family. You know, sometimes we do things and we think we're no longer worthy to be part of the family. You know, I've disappointed the family. I've done something unthinkable and nobody could ever forgive me. And so I'm just, well, we read the story about the prodigal son recently, didn't we? Prodigal son had in mind, he said, I failed my father. I failed my family. And so at least I could come back and be one of his servants. But we know the story. The Bible says the father welcomed him back. Here's the son trying to tell him all the things that he had done. And I'm not worthy and I failed you. And the whole time the father's telling his servants, go get the best ring, go get the robe, go get my shoes and put it on him. Let's have a feast. Why? Because my son is back. You're not out of the family. If you missed it, just make the decision. Before I get done with this sentence, you can make a decision. You know what, Lord, forgive me. It's that easy. He's made it that easy. Oh, glory to God. 1 John 3:8 says, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Do you know that word destroy there means to undo what the devil did? It's that simple. Jesus came to undo in your life what the devil tried to accomplish. Came to destroy. Well, in fact, if you go back in Luke 10, you remember when the disciples were called, and it talks about calling the other 70 when Jesus was originally sending all them out. In Luke 10, 19, he said, I give unto you power, which is another word translated authority. He said, I give you power and authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Well, do you believe that or not? How many of you know that you have authority this morning? You have authority to speak His word. You have authority to overcome any situation. Quite literally, the Bible says, I've given you authority and power to tread on serpents. Anybody like snakes around here? Not me. Best snake is a dead snake, as far as I'm concerned. But I want you to notice something. Quite literally, the Bible says this. There's a story about Paul. You know, Paul in Acts 28 is a prisoner. Just before in Acts 27, it talks about how his group was shipwrecked. He's a prisoner on this ship, and it was shipwrecked. And so we'll pick up, you know, they survive. So in Acts chapter 28, verse number 1, it says, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melito, or it's what we would call Malta. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hanging on his hand, now listen to this, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffers not to live. You ever gone through something and somebody told you, well, it's just something you did, you deserve that. You deserve that. You hadn't been living right. Huh? And yet we see, immediately after that, he shook the beast off in the fire, and he felt no harm. Howbeit they looked, when he should have swollen and fallen down dead suddenly, but after they looked a great while and saw no harm, see, they're looking, they're watching, they're looking at his hand, they're seeing how it's going to affect him. Surely this murderer is going to die. But so the Bible tells us that after a period of time, they changed their minds and they said that Paul was a god. And in the same quarters were possessions of chief men of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass, now watch this, get this. It came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of the fever in a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in, prayed for him. See, he received healing and it opened a door here, didn't it? He prayed, laid hands on him, and healed him. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed. What are we talking about? Your ability to overcome adversity in this world gives you a voice. I'll say that again. Your ability to overcome adversity in this world gives you a voice. It's a witness. It's a testimony of the goodness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:20 tells us, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We pray you in Christ's stead, in Christ's place, as his substitute, as his voice in this world, be reconciled to God." We are ambassadors for Christ. What does that mean? Well, we understand, if you follow politics at all, if you follow simple government at all, you know that an ambassador is a high-ranking individual that's sent out to represent our country. It's to represent our voice in a foreign land. And so an ambassador is a high-ranking individual who acts as an agent representing a specific government or country as a diplomat. And so in other words, an ambassador would be representing our interests, the United States' interests in a foreign land. So it's interesting. The Bible says we are ambassadors for Christ. So as Christ's ambassadors for the kingdom of God, we represent truth and we represent light in this world. In a world that's full of deceit and darkness and fear and doubt, truth and light should always be in our voice, in our walk, in our talk. Why? Because we're ambassadors. Well, you remember, you can go through this entire Bible and find examples, but Noah represented God's righteousness to unbelievers. We remember that Moses proclaimed God's power and justice in the land of Egypt. You remember that Joshua showed the might and strength of the Lord before the Canaanites. Well, that's what we're supposed to do in this world. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and as a result glorify your Father which is in heaven." As a result of your light shining, that God gets the glory. 1 Peter 2:12 says, "Having your conversation here is just another word for conduct, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles," meaning the world, the unbelievers, "having your conversation, your conduct honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they behold," well, when you behold something, you see it for yourself. So in other words, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they behold, glorify God. Well, as believers, we're called to live lives that are full of testimonies of faith and commitment and victory and deliverance. That's what they're supposed to be beholding. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. I like this part. For the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. What's he saying? Come see a man. Remember that story we talked about last? Come see a man. Let your testimony, let your life be an example. Let others behold the goodness of God in your life, and in turn, let God get the glory. Come see a man. Let me tell you about a man who changed my life. Let me tell you about a man who saved my life, who healed my body, who restored my family. Let me tell you about a man. We live in a lost and dying world. We live in a world full of people trying to accomplish things in their own power, and it'll never get it done. But you have a voice. You have a voice in this world. You have a voice in the coffee shop and at school. You have a voice at the office and the ball fields. You have a voice at home. Don't ever forget that one. You have a voice at home. I said you have a voice at home. You better use it. We don't need to go through the scriptures, do we? You ought to be sitting before your family, reading scriptures, praying, encouraging them with the word. When they come before you, you don't just pacify, oh, baby, it'll be all right. You give them the word. Listen, I'll love all my kids. I'll love all my family. I'll cry with them. I'll weep with them. But it won't last long before we say, what does the word say? Your victory comes in the Word, and that's what other people need to hear, is come see a man. Come see the Word. The Word changed my life. The Word's the answer that you need. You have a voice. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says, but as we are approved of God to be entrusted with the gospel. The gospel is the good news. It's what we're talking about. But as we are approved of God to be entrusted with the gospel, that's how we're telling the world. That's the voice translation. That's how we're telling the world. Look over at Romans 10. If you're saved, you're familiar with this passage of Scripture. Romans 10, starting with verse number 8. We read this last time. It says, but what does it say? What says it? The word is nigh you, even in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew or the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now listen to this part. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Somebody say, that's me. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them which preach to the gospel of peace, which bring glad tidings of good things. Oh, glory to God. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. Everybody look down at your feet. Say, those are beautiful feet. Those are beautiful. Now, I'm not asking anybody to take your shoes off. Beautiful feet. Yeah, you have a call of God on your life. You have a responsibility in this world. And get those feet moving. Right? Be about the Lord's work. Isaiah, very similar, Isaiah 52:7 says, how beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publishes, or another word for proclaim, that proclaims peace and brings good tidings of good things. Oh, glory to God. Listen, the message of the gospel is the good news about a good God. The good news about a good God. We see this in Daniel chapter 3. Go back to Daniel. You remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Well, in the story here in chapter 3, if you'll indulge me for a moment, it says, wherefore, verse number 8, Daniel 3:8, says, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said unto King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree. In other words, they're reminding him, you made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, and some other instruments shall fall down. When they hear this, they shall fall down and worship the golden image. Whoso falls not down and worships, that he should be cast in the midst of the burning fire. For there are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded you, for they serve not your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is this true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready, that at the time you hear the sound of the instruments, fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Who is it that God shall deliver you out of my hands? Literally, the fire is under their feet. So what do they do? What's their response? Verse 16 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. In other words, we don't take this lightly. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. In other words, if you throw us into the fire, from the burning fiery furnace, he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Said, even if we did not, even if we will not bow and you throw us in, he will deliver us. That's some bold talk, isn't it? But if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your gods nor worship the golden image. In other words, if you choose not to throw us in, we'll still not serve your gods. Then Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against them. He spake and commanded that they should heat up the furnace seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were there in his army to bind them and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And they, just to give an example, it says these men were bound in their cords, their hosen, their hats, their garments, and they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took them up. In other words, they got so close to the fire to throw them in that even being so close to the fire killed them. Oh, but what happened to them? Verse 23 says, these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said to his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the fire? And they answered and said, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Right in the midst of your trial this morning, Jesus is present to help. Don't you quit. Don't you give up. Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth. They came forth in the midst of the fire, and the princes, the governors, the captains, the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was had hair of their heads singed, neither their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. They came out and they didn't even smell like the smoke. I don't know about you, but anytime I get around a campfire, I try to change clothes because inevitably I'm going to smell like that fire for the rest of the day. As if it wasn't enough, they came out unhurt. Their clothes didn't even smell like it. Nebuchadnezzar spake. Now here's the reason. Here's the point of the whole story. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent this angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word, yielded their bodies that they might not serve or worship any god except their own. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, every nation, every language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. God delivered them in the midst of their fiery furnace situation, and what did it do? It gave them a voice. And it changed the course of this country, of this region. The king changed his mind about things, and he said, "We're going to worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." I'm convinced of the scripture today more than ever. The scripture that says that if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, that I will heal their land. You have a voice in this land. You have a voice in this world. And people need to see it. People need to hear it. Are you with me? There's a story that we read, Brother Hagin talked about years and years ago. And as you read through Brother Hagin's different books and things, you see, it's interesting, you see different portions of this story. And so you kind of get an idea of the whole thing as you read the different ones. But I was reminded of something because I'm going back through one of his study courses. And I was reminded about something that he said about, you remember, and I think actually Pastor Mark told the story recently about the gentleman that came up to be prayed for and he was burned on the lower part of his body. You remember that? So here's something that's interesting about that story. Brother Hagin says this: "I was in one church where a man had been burned over the lower part of his body and it left him unable to walk. He just scooted his feet along on the floor." So Brother Hagin, when he's telling this story, you know, he's giving an example. This is the way that guy walked, because he couldn't hardly move because of being burned on the lower parts of his leg. And so we're having a healing service through the gift of the Spirit. The Lord told me to have everyone who had something wrong with their bodies from their hips down to come up first in the healing line. About 12 people came forward, and this man who had been burned was the first one in line. I waited until all of them were down front before I told them what God had told me to tell them to do. I came up to this man and I said, "Can you run?" It took him so much by surprise that he said, "Oh my God, no. I can't even walk, much less run." Then I said, "Well, the Lord told me to tell you to start running." This man didn't even give it a second thought. He just turned around and started scooting up the aisle just as fast as he could. The third time he came around the aisle, the Spirit of the Lord came on me and I jumped off the platform. I grabbed him by the hand and ran around that building with him. And when we got back to the front, he was walking, not scooting, but he was walking normally. He was perfectly healed. If I had not been able to get him to act and cooperate with the Holy Ghost, I couldn't have helped him. But now listen to this. Faith, you see, is acting on the Word, doing whatever He says to do in the Word, and whatever He may say to us to do by the Holy Spirit. To show you how much of a miracle this was, and this is the part I want you to hear. To show you how much of a miracle this was, let me relate what happened as a result of this man's healing. Somebody say, "I have a voice." The next night in the service, there were two elderly gentlemen who responded to the invitation to be saved. Both of them were white-haired gentlemen, and they looked so much alike, I thought they were twins. I found out later that they were brothers, one 74, the other 72. One of the men in the church told me that I would be interested in hearing their testimonies why they came to church that night. These men were next-door neighbors to the burned man, the man who had gotten healed the night before. These brothers had seen the man working in the yard. They thought he must have crawled out to his yard, but in a few minutes they saw him stand up straight and well and walk to his house. They hurried over to see what had happened, and he told them of his healing and what the Lord had done for him. They both came to the service and got saved, and one of the gentlemen filled with the Holy Ghost. The miraculous power of God convinced those fellows of the reality of Jesus, the Savior and the healer. Somebody say, I have a voice. Anybody ever been delivered? Anybody ever received healing? Anybody ever come through a tough time? Experienced victory over situation? You have a voice. Use it. I said use it. Don't just enjoy your victory all to yourself. Why don't you proclaim the goodness of God? Why? The Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. If we're ambassadors for Him, then our voice, our walk, our talk needs to be all about the goodness of God, the truth and reality of the Word of God. Use your voice. He used His voice, and as a result, these men got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Changed their life forever. We said it the other day, but nobody can tell your story like you can. Come on now. No matter what your story is, it all comes down to a simple message. Psalm 46:1 says, God is my refuge and my strength, very present help in trouble. Psalm 145:18 says, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. You want Him to draw near? Let me ask it another way. How many of you want God in the middle of your affairs? I don't know about you, but I do. I want to give Him a voice. I want to consult Him when life gets tough. I want Him right in the middle of my affairs. You know, as a kid, we go around thinking, we don't want my parents in the middle of our affairs. You just stay out and let me handle it, right? But when you get older, you get a little bit wiser, and you say, Lord, come on in. Give me all the advice you can. Huh? I want Him right in the middle of my affairs. Listen, there is lots of voices out there. Far too many voices leading people astray through misinformation and misdirection. We see that just in social media, in the news, and all that kind of stuff. It's corrupt. It's misleading. It's not the truth. Lots of voices out there, and really we shouldn't be listening to any of them. Matthew and I went, I don't know, it was March or April, something early in the season, baseball season. Me and Matthew are big baseball guys. We're Texas fans, as everybody should be. So we flew back and went to see a weekend baseball series. And so, you know, we every day we went to the ballpark and stayed with my parents, visited with them, and then we'd go to the ballpark in the afternoon or night. And we'd go watch these ball games. Well, one game, we were sitting down the third baseline, and it just so happened this was where a lot of the fraternities were. And so a lot of those guys, you know, they're down there drinking and having a good time or whatever. And so Matthew and I are watching this game. Well, a foul ball gets hit over there where all these rowdy, drunk, you know, college guys are. And so this ball, it has been hit over there, and so it's bouncing around, and it's, you know, nobody can find it. Well, there's two little boys, you know, I don't know, 10, 12-year-old boys. They're frantically trying to find this ball. What they didn't know was one of those college boys had found this ball. And so all these college guys are going, it's over here, it's over here. And they'd run over there to go get that ball. They say, oh, no, no, it's over here, it's over here. And they'd run over there to go get that ball. And you could just see they were having fun with them. They were laughing and having a good time. And so they did it about five times. And finally, the boys looked at them like, what are you doing? And finally, they just kind of laughed. I think just tossed them the ball. You know, if you're not careful in this life, that's what will happen to you. You'll get so caught up in what's going on all around you that you just start going different directions, and none of it's the truth. You're lost and you're going all kinds of places and you're going all these different places for counsel and getting all kinds of opinions, and you go to 50 people to tell about your story and what should I do, what should I do? And listen, there's voices that are good out there, right? Guys, anybody ever tried to fix something and you didn't know what to do? So what'd you get on? You got on YouTube. Because between YouTube and the Lord, you can fix anything, right? Yeah, I've done it. Fixed a lot of things. Fixed a lot of things that Sheila wished I wouldn't fix. You know, she's ready to get rid of something, and I'm over here fixing it, and she's like, quit fixing it. Leave it alone. Let me get a new one. I'm like, no. It's not going to defeat me. We're going to look it up on YouTube. We're going to figure it out. So yeah, there's some voices that are okay out there. And but listen, Proverbs 19:20 says, hear counsel, hear godly counsel, and receive instruction that you may be wise in the latter end. Hear godly counsel. Verse 21 says, for there are many devices, many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. One translation says, that shall prevail. Godly counsel. You know, far too many leave us chasing our tails with no lasting result. God's thing. See, there's a lost and dying world out there who's chasing their tail, who's trying to figure things out on their own, and they've tried this and they've tried that and they've tried this counselor and that counselor and they've tried these people and they've tried this family member and that family member, but they've never once consulted the Lord. What would the Lord say to you? But the Bible says, His counsel shall stand. His counsel. Listen, His counsel gives you lasting results. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm all about getting all the information you can, all the education you can, reading good books. There's a lot of good podcasts, a lot of opinions out there, a lot of advice, a lot of good counsel. But you better keep it sanctified. What do we mean by that? You better get godly counsel. That needs to be your, we're talking about having a voice. We're talking about what do you tell others? Get godly counsel. Stay informed. Live in the light. No need to walk in darkness, is there? Huh? Left lost, searching? Live in the light. There's all kinds of scriptures that talk about live in the light. I remember when Christina was, what were you, 12, 13 years old? We left her at home with Matthew for the first time. Decided, I think it was one of the first times we went out on date night because we thought, well, she's old enough. She can watch her brother. They can be okay. And so we reluctantly left the house to go on a date. And like it wasn't long, hour and a half, whatever. So it's dark, you know. Well, we leave and we come back. And when I turn the corner to go to the house, it's like the house was aglow. Every single light in that house was turned on. Because my daughter does not like the dark. So literally every light in that house was turned on. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. In the Lord, you know. I didn't want to pay for that, but I got home, started flipping lights off, you know. Live in the light. There's truth in the light. All kinds of scriptures to talk about. You don't have to live in darkness. If you're going to go to the world for advice and you're going to seek ungodly counsel, don't be alarmed when you go to the world and you get worldly counsel. What's the world going to tell you? Quit your job. Give up on that marriage. The world's going to tell you you're the victim. Life's not fair. You just need a new beginning. That's what the world will tell you. You just need a fresh start. You just need to go to another church. That's what the world will tell you. But you know, Jesus actually addresses this in Luke 6:39. He says, can the blind lead the blind? And shall they not both fall into the ditch? It matters who you follow. So what all are we talking about here? It matters who you follow. I said it matters who you follow. You have a voice in this world. If you're saved, if you've ever been delivered, ever been healed, you have a voice. And you need to use that voice to lead people in the right direction so that they're not lost running around like the two boys looking for a baseball. They're getting the truth. They're getting the light. And life is in the light. Amen. I'll close with this. Look over at John chapter 1. Jesus himself said it. John chapter 1, verse number 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. For he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That's our job. We are sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which lightens every man that comes into this world. We are called to be a witness of the light. That was the true light which lightens every man that comes into the world. You have the light of life, and it needs to be in your voice. Amen. Everybody stand to your feet. Glory to God. Jesus said in John 8:12, once again, Jesus spoke unto the people and said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Thank God. I said, thank God. A couple chapters later, Jesus said unto them in John 12:35, yet a little while the light is with you, walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walks in darkness knows not where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. He goes on to say in verse 36, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believes on me should not abide in darkness. My question to you this morning is, are you facing a challenge? Does it feel like all hope is lost? You find your mind racing, can't sleep, you feel overwhelmed, feels like you're in the proverbial darkness in life. Let me tell you something. You need the light that only He can give. You need the light that only Jesus Christ Himself can provide. The world can give you all kinds of things that are imitations, all kinds of things that are not the truth, all kinds of things that put a Band-Aid on it, all kinds of things that seem to cover it up for a while. But it doesn't lead to lasting results. Only Jesus Christ Himself can give you what you need. Everybody lift your hands this morning. Father, we thank you. We trust you this morning for the Word of God. Your Word, as we always say, is life-giving, life-changing to all who choose to believe it, to act on it. We make the decision this morning that as witnesses for you, as born-again, Spirit-filled believers, we're going to have a voice in this world. And that voice is going to reveal the truth and the light that others need to hear. And as a result, people are going to come to you. They're going to see and hear about a good God who's ready to do good things in their life. And they're going to receive the peace and the healing and the victory that they need. Maybe you're that one this morning. Maybe you don't know this morning what it means to be saved, to be healed, to experience victory in life. Maybe you don't know what it means to call Jesus Lord of your life this morning. This morning, before you leave this place, things can be changed. Your life can be turned and go a whole different direction. If that's you, I'll just ask you to do a simple thing. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. This is just between you and the Lord. Maybe that's you. Maybe you've never asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, or maybe like we talked about, You've experienced failure. You've experienced setback, and you don't feel like you belong. If that's you on any account, I just want you to lift your hand right where you are. I want to pray with you. I want to agree with you that things are going to be different. Anybody in the sound of my voice, I want things different this morning. I want to quit chasing my tail. I want true direction and light into my life. That ought to be all of us. There's times in our life when all of us feel like we're going in the wrong direction and we're tired of going the way we've been going. This morning, make the determination within yourself that it's going to be different. Things are changing this morning. I'm going to seek Him. I'm going to be His voice. I'm going to go the right direction this morning. Oh, glory to God. Father, we receive Your Word this morning as the truth that lights our way. No need to stay in the dark. We're coming to the light. And that light is found in Jesus Christ. This morning, we choose You. We determine in our heart, we choose light. We choose to hear the counsel of God Almighty. We choose to hear Your voice that leads us into light and out of darkness. Oh, glory to God. And as a result, we get clarity. We get answers to prayer. We get answers to situations that we don't understand. Victory comes in Jesus' name. Oh, glory to God. You receive that this morning? I said, do you receive that this morning? Glory to God. Well, if that's the case, then you leave out of here victorious. Remember how we said in the beginning? Don't leave empty-handed. Whatever you need, you just leave knowing you receive it of the Lord. I take it, I receive it. Whatever it is. Whatever it is, you receive it in Jesus' name. Will you do that? Will you promise me you're going to do that? Don't leave out of this place different or the same. Leave changed. Leave changed. With a determination that from this point on, I'm going to walk in the light. I'm going to live in the light. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, we're so glad you came this morning. I believe you got something out of this. I implore you, don't miss Wednesday. You know, Kim has a habit of saying, you know, if you don't do something that He asks you to do, you're out of the will of God. Don't be out of the will of God. Come on, Wednesday. Amen. If you can, I know sometimes midweek service is a little challenging for you, but you don't want to miss it. It's good stuff. Amen. God bless you. We love you. You're dismissed. Amen.
Your name is the highest, Your name.